Let's pray together, church. Our Father in heaven, we're just in awe of your greatness. We're in awe of your name. We love you. We ask for your Spirit to convert our souls, to transform us to the image of Christ, to renew our minds. And Lord, I pray that each soul in this room today, young and old, man or woman, whatever we may be, Lord, help us to humble ourselves before Jesus Christ and Spirit move in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from the National Catholic Register, a news source. In September of 2018, Botham Jean, who was a black man, was sitting in his apartment watching television and eating ice cream when Amber Geiger, a white patrol officer coming off a 15-hour shift, entered his apartment, allegedly believing it was her own, and shot and killed him. The incident became a flashpoint of poor relations between black Americans and law enforcement officers. Botham's brother, Brant, took the witness stand in court for this event that happened. And Brant Jean shocked the world. Because what Brant did, if you're familiar with this story, was he looked Amber, the woman who killed his brother, in the eye, and he said these words. He said, "I love you just like anyone else. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want for you. And the best would be for you to give your life to Christ." I'm not going to say anything else. I think your giving your life to Christ would be the best thing and the thing that both of them would want you to do. And then Brant turned to the judge and asked permission to give Amber a hug. And as he approached her, the woman who killed his brother fell into his arms, sobbing, asking for forgiveness. A powerful, powerful moment. He shocked the world because he didn't do what the world would have him to do, but he did what the Lord would have him to do. This morning and throughout the last few weeks, we've been contrasting what the world wants us to do, what the world attempts and seeks for us to do, versus what Jesus Christ, the Lord, would have us to do. We've talked about the spirit of Antichristos and that there is a spirit working against the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God. And that the world has a way of seeking to diminish Jesus Christ. The world system has a way of trying to redefine Jesus Christ. And the world has a way of seeking to deceive you or turn your minds away from the truth that is revealed in God's holy word. And we see this all throughout Scripture. And Brant Jean would not stand for it. He offered the forgiveness and he offered the welcome of Jesus Christ the Lord. If you have your Bible, I'll invite you to open up to 1 John chapter 2. As you're turning there, we'll read together, as we've done customarily, from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and the words will be on the screen behind me. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war, what? According to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We are fighting a battle as Christians today against spiritual powers and against ideas and against powers in this world, powerful groups of people in this world. And the scripture says we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. It is our role and our goal to battle ideas and opinions raised against the knowledge of God and the revelation of God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Truth in 2020 is our theme. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says this: Children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that Antichrist is coming. Antichristos is coming. So now many Antichristos have come against Christ. And that's what we've been talking about, that there is a power ruling in this world that is against Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is look around and you see it very clear and very evident in this world. If you turn on any of your social media platforms, and these are the platforms that give voice to people, you will see people's opinions. In fact, you have people being pressured to give their opinions and to stake their claim. Which side are you on? Which side of the road are you on? Let me read to you the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 through 3. By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is already in the world. We gave three major points about the Antichristos. And these three things are, one, that the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit. It is not merely a person, but it is a spirit, an ideology, a grouping of ideas and people fulfilling a role from the world. And we're going to get to exactly how that plays out. But know that the spirit of Antichristos is everywhere and in everything. And as 1 John tells us in chapter 4, what does he tell us to do, church? He says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do you see it? You can't trust everybody. Don't trust everybody. Judge everything I say. Judge everything that your leaders say, and ministry partners that you might be partnering with, and your family members, and your political leaders, and all the people who are leading in our culture. You test what they say. Is it line up? Does it line up with what the Word of God says? The spirit of Antichristos is a living, creeping, lying, deceiving movement against the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the spirit of Antichristos denies Jesus' position. He might try to redefine that Jesus is the Lord. We looked at this last week. Vague references to God are not enough. We must be specific that we are followers of Jesus Christ, not just merely people who believe in a God. That does not constitute a Christian. And we looked at Jesus Christ is the promised prophet and priest and king. He's the one who all things hinge around and circle around. and center around. And my hope, Christian, as you're here or maybe online with us, is that you remember being specific about Jesus is important. Because Jesus is the one who saves. God did not send a vague spirit into the world. He sent his son and a person and a body in flesh for us. And his name is Jesus. And look what John says in his gospel in chapter 5, verse 23. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So let me remind us, church, if we don't honor Jesus Christ specifically, we are not honoring the Father. And this is why many people can say, oh yeah, I believe in a God, but they're not talking about the God, the one who's revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why you get some very different and sometimes wacky ideas about who God is and what God is doing. Because you become unhinged, unattached to the Word of God, His revelation through Jesus Christ. I encourage you, church, to seek to honor Jesus Christ above all things. Because Jesus Christ deserves our honor. I don't know if you know this, church, but most weeks I encourage you to give the Lord something in our church services every week. What is it? To give your best. That's what He's called us to give. Give the Lord your best each and every week as you come, because He deserves it. Why does He deserve it? Look at this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, same letter, a little later on. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is what? It's greater than he who's in the world. Now we're going to talk about this world a little more in depth, but the world is run by the spirit of Antichristos, by the demonic powers, and they're seeking to give you pleasure and get your attention on something other than Jesus. And last week I asked you the question, why? Why is the spirit of Antichristos working so hard to get your attention? Why does it care? Why do the demons care what you're doing so much? And finally, we're going to answer that shortly. But the third point, the first one is it's a spirit. The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit. Secondly, the spirit of Antichrist seeks to deny Jesus' proper position as the Messiah or the Christ and deny the honor that he's owed. And thirdly, Antichristos is anti-truth. He seeks to deceive. 2 John rather, chapter 1, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone into the world, but those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such one is a deceiver and the Antichristos and the Antichrist. He's a deceiver. So here's what I say, church, is this. If you have the spirit of discernment, work as hard as you can to judge and test every spirit. And some of the ways you do that are just some people have a knack for discerning things better than others. I'm married to one of those people. It's really good discernment. Some people don't have that spirit of discernment so as much as others. What do you need to do? So some of you younger folks, children, you might not have lived long enough to discern some things. What do you do when you have a decision to make? Who can you go to? And don't say Tyler, wherever he is. You can say Tyler. Go to your youth pastor. Go to Tyler, go to your parents, go to your Sunday school teachers, go to people who have that spirit of discernment. Maybe your husband or your wife is really keen on seeing things. Go to them and say, hey, I've been thinking about this, or I heard this, what do you think about this? And I can't tell you how many times my wife and I discuss things. What do you think about this? I heard this idea today, do you think it's accurate or right? Have discussions. And this is what the church is. It's being able to go to people in your family of faith, in your body of believers, and say, hey, is this biblical, do you think? And I have some men in the church that I go to oftentimes and say, what are your thoughts on this? Does this seem out of whack to you? And some ladies too. Is this, how do you feel about this? This is when anti-truth is coming, we have to be in the body. We talked about last week, even in the religious world, they sent spies to spy out on Jesus. Look at Luke 2:20. They sent spies who pretended to be sincere to try to spy on Jesus. It happens in the name of religion all the time. It happens in the name of salesmanship all the time. It happens in the name of advertising and politics all the time. But when it happens in the name of Jesus, we must be most, most careful. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 6. Oh, let me go back a verse, Miss Stacy. 1 John 2:26. I just want to read this to y'all. I write these things to you so that you, about those who are trying to deceive you. That's 1 John chapter 2. That's right where we are. There are people trying to deceive. So wake up, church. If you don't know the Word of God, it's very possible that you will be drawn into a subtle deception that can pull you and drag you away from exalting Jesus. So be careful. Be on your guard. Ephesians 5, 6, Paul says it this way. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Empty meaning they're not persuasive, but empty meaning they have no value. There's no weight to them because they're deceitful. They're not true. Antichristos is a spirit who denies Jesus and tells lies. That is what we know. So let me give you, this is what I didn't get to last week, and I want to give you a counter for all of these things. I know all of that's kind of in the negative. And we're going to balance it out with some positive as well. Because the Christian life, and as we learn, we have to learn the affirmative and the denials. So what we've learned are the denials. We need to know that there's deception going on out there, and that there's a spirit there. It's a spirit in the world, among the world, trying to deceive us. Here's the affirmatives. What can we do then in our battle against Antichristos? What can we do? Let me give you a few points that are exactly the antithesis of the three things that I have given you. So the first one is, Antichristos is a spirit. So let me give you application, Christian. If there is a spirit of Antichrist that is running around and roaming around in this world, what do you think we can do spiritually? We can, Ephesians 5, verse 18, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. If we're going to go to battle with the spirit of Antichristos, then we need to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. Does that make sense? If you're going to battle spiritually, you need to be filled spiritually. So, Christian, I cannot overstate this enough. And I know, Jimmy, you teach on Thursday nights, and we're always talking about being filled with the Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, help us to bear fruit in the Spirit. Lord, your Spirit is the one who gives us discernment. Lord, fill us with your Spirit so as we read your Word, we can know what your Word says. Father, the Spirit, may your Spirit be in us so we can be Spirit-filled and not drawn or controlled or manipulated by this world. Church, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And that takes a daily, it takes an hourly submitting of yourself before God. It's so easy to get caught up in the spirit of the world and to be enamored at the fast car or the big fish or the new game or the football team, or the relationships, or the media, whatever it is. It's so easy to get enamored with those things. Church, we must be filled with the Spirit. How do you think he stood on the witness stand and looked and said, I can love you like anyone else, even though you killed my brother? Because he was filled with the Spirit of God, and he overcame the lex talionis, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth mentality of the world, the revengeful mindset of the world, and he forgave and brought healing because he was filled with the Spirit. He offered Christ because he was filled with the Spirit. Let me read this verse to you. Church, are y'all with me this morning? Let me read to you this verse, and may the Spirit work it in your soul. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So let me stop and just explain that briefly. The idea of being filled with wine or drunk with wine is to where the wine takes control of us, and it begins to make us do things we wouldn't normally do. It impairs certain things. It makes us say certain things or act in certain ways, and it affects different people differently. But the purpose and the illustration that Paul is giving here is this. You want to be controlled or influenced not by alcohol or drugs, but you want to be influenced by the Spirit of God. And this is important, because what Paul is recognizing here is that our nature is an angry nature. That our nature is a lust of the eyes nature. That our nature is a lust of the flesh nature. That our nature is a prideful nature. But we need the influence of the Spirit to suppress and remove those things. If you are not filled with the Spirit, you will be controlled by the flesh. And you see that phrase, for that is debauchery. I was reading, I don't know if it was maybe Matthew Henry's commentary or Calvin, one of those guys. And they said that this is the unbridled flesh, uncontrolled, maybe is a good word for us. It's the uncontrolled passion, giving full vent to our passions. And that is not what Christ has called us to do. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, the final one, help me out, church, what's the final fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. So the Spirit helps us to control this thing. So how do we battle the spirit of this world? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God so that we act in a loving way, that we can forgive people, that we don't have to go rage, that we don't have to speak words that we shouldn't speak, that we don't have to be lazy or slothful, that we don't have to be focused on the things of the world. Be filled with the Spirit. Secondly, spirit of Antichristos seeks to deny Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. So secondly, how do we battle that? What's our affirmative? Well, we're filled with the Spirit. And as we're filled with the Spirit, we seek to honor Jesus as the Messiah, as the chosen one sent from God. So we're filled with the Spirit. And look, y'all are at church on a Sunday morning. Praise God. You're watching, even if you can't be here. You are seeking to honor the Lord and give Him your time and effort. Investing into the kingdom of God. Doing things of the church for the gospel's sake. Talking to friends and neighbors about Jesus. Doing things that matter for eternity. That is showing honor. Let me give you 1 Peter 3:15. Look at this. This is a good verse. But in your hearts, honor Christ. Our hearts are so apt to honoring things. But how about this one? Why don't we honor Christ as the Lord, or honor Christ the Lord as holy. And this means as set apart. Y'all know what that word holy means, right? It means set apart. And so if we're honoring Christ as holy, that means we don't treat Christ like we treat our hobbies. We don't treat Jesus like we treat other things. We treat him as set apart and a cut above everything else. You know, sometimes you try to do something nice for somebody. You know, there's a birthday. And what do you do on somebody's birthday? Well, a lot of times you call them, tell them happy birthday, or talk to them. Some people close to you might want to get a gift. Your children, you might throw a party for a birthday, or your spouse, you might throw a surprise party for them, or something. You're trying to set them apart and say, hey, you mean something to me, and I want to bless you. And this is where we come to, we're setting apart Jesus as holy. How often do we say, Jesus, I want to make sure that you are set apart as holy in my life? Because the spirit of Antichristos is going to say, Jesus is just common. He's just common, you know, nothing special. He's just a prophet. Or he was just another religion. Or whatever it may be. But we as Christians, we go, no. Jesus is set apart. And I make my decisions because of Jesus. Jesus was different than everyone. He was the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's Jesus. He's something special. And that is why when people use his name like a slang word, it should be offensive to us. No. Jesus is holy. We don't talk like that about Jesus. And we shouldn't talk like that about Jesus. No, he's holy. So the spirit of this world, common Jesus, no big deal. Christians, set apart Jesus as holy, and now watch this. Look at the rest of the verse. Always being prepared to make a difference. I'm so sorry. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that is in you. And do it gentleness. Do it with respect. So let me throw this at you a little bit. As we are countering the spirit of the world that minimizes Jesus, we want to elevate Jesus, maximize Jesus, and we're able to do that, according to Peter here, by making a defense and being prepared to defend the hope that we have. And one of the ways we can honor Jesus is by being different. Let me ask you this. Do you have to make a defense for the way that you're acting if you're acting just like the spirit of the world? Y'all get what I'm saying? You only have to defend your actions when you're not doing something everybody else is doing. You get what I'm saying here? So being ready to make a defense for the hope that you have is that you're living in a way that is different than the spirit of Antichristos. You are living in a Christian way. In a way that doesn't draw attention to you, but it draws attention to Jesus. So Christian, application for you this week. Go draw attention to Jesus. Say things about Jesus. Talk about Jesus in your common everyday talk. Not in a common way, but in a frequent way. Talk about Jesus. Tristan, you're in school. Go talk to people about Jesus. You know, so talk about Scripture. Take advantage of the people that you have to set apart Jesus as Lord and make a defense. All right, third one. Y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? All right, we got a third one. So the spirit of Antichristos is a spirit. We're filled with the spirit. He denies who Jesus is, so we're going to exalt Jesus. Y'all can deny him all you want. Jesus is the Lord. He's revealed in Scripture. Son of God came, crucified, dead, buried, rose again, lived perfectly. That's Jesus. He's Lord. Antichristos speaks in deceptions against the word of God. What do we? We be people of truth. People who don't have to live a double life. People who don't have to live a double life. I'm not here to be the arbiter of guilty or not guilty, but a very prominent Christian leader, the president of a Christian school in the past couple weeks, has come under fire because of his lifestyle. Pictures he's posted on social media, unbecoming of a Christian, much less a Christian leader. Evidence of him being involved in inappropriate actions of intimacy in his family, and bribery. This is a double life. This is a double life. You can say one thing and live another. This is not what Jesus Christ has called us to do. He's called us to be people of truth. People who not only live in a truthful way, but know the truth so that we can live in a truthful way. Look how Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy. I love this scripture, y'all. I love it. Do your best to present yourselves. Some of y'all might recognize this. Do your best to present yourselves as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling what? Y'all, Awana started this week. It was neat. We had Awana on the video screens. We got to do small groups and got to talk about the Lord. We got to learn scripture together. I enjoyed it. Mary did a great job. And for those of you who are involved, it was a great time. And this is one of the Awana theme verses, really, for the thing is we are to be workmen, not ashamed. But it's not just a kid's thing. Like, this is real life, because what he says here is this. We need to be a worker, not ashamed of what we're doing. Remember, we look different. The only reason we're going to be ashamed is if we look different than the spirit of Antichristos. So we're not ashamed that we look different, but we're rightly handling the word of truth. So we're people of the truth, not of deception. But the spirit's in this world. It's been in the news all week. Go look at the news about hypocrisy and Christian leaders and political leaders. It's there. Double life. Christian, no, that's not who we are. We are people who should be devoted, a people faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this? Why is this? Why should we be people that are devoted to truth, who have shame cast upon us, who have to give a defense for our actions? Why? And the reason is this. Because we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus filled with the Spirit of God. Perfectly. Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Messiah. Jesus was a person of the truth who came, and even though it cost his very life unto his death, he gave himself so that you and I and all of those who would believe could have eternal life. Praise the Lord. And so we Christians, if we want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, these are the things that we do. We're willing to be filled with the Spirit. We're willing to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God and Savior. And the Lord. And we're willing to pay the price of living a life of truth. This is what we do. I want to close this morning with answering one of the questions I asked you last week. Why is the devil so interested in tricking you? Why is there such an effort that he puts into that? And to answer that question, I want to do a little logic with you. Y'all have 5 minutes? Y'all have 5 minutes, church? All right, let's knock this out. This is good. Why does the devil care so much? Why is there such a push to trick you away, or to get you to not believe, I'll put it this way, to get you to not believe that the Bible is true? Why is there such a push? Why do people laugh at you for being a Christian and belittle you for being a Christian, or kill you for being a Christian? Let me give you my thoughts. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are from God. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So same book, at the end of the book, I'm reading this week by week, reading 1 John over and over. This verse has stuck out to me several times. We know that we are from God. Christian, praise God, you are from God. The Spirit is in you. You are living out your Christian and faithful life. And the whole world lies in the what? The power of the evil one. Meaning those who are not of Christ, it's the same idea here of Antichristos. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So this world is in the power or under the influence of the evil one. Next scripture. Same author, John, from the Gospel of John, John 7:7. Jesus himself utters these words. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. In other words, the world is not hating you for you. The world is hating you for me. It hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. The words of Jesus. Now, let's put all this together. What did Jesus say? Remember, several weeks ago, we talked about Jesus came and he loved. Do y'all remember the two ways in which he loved? He loved in the truth, yes. He loved in, what's it? He loved in truth and in deed. Now, here we go. Here's the truth. Here comes Jesus coming and saying, the world hates me because I'm telling the truth, that its works are evil or they're against God's plan. The world is in the power of the evil one, and the world hates me. So here's my answer to the question. If Jesus comes and he speaks the truth, and the world, John 7:7, hates him for it, and the world hates you. And look, this week I saw in Ethiopia. In Ethiopia, over 500 Christians have been killed since June because they're Christian. In Nigeria, in just 1 month, 60 Nigerians were killed by Fulani Muslims. Y'all remember a guy named Adolf Hitler? He sought to kill the entire race of Jews and exalt the Aryan race. Genocide, because he hated them. Today, Uyghur Muslims in China are in cages and behind walls because the Chinese people hate them. I can give you the KKK, black supremacy groups, any race supremacy groups. You can go look on the internet. You can see it. Hatred because of a skin color. Hate is so powerful. And these groups feed on the hatred. Why does the devil work so hard against the gospel of God? Because the devil and the powers of evil and all of the demons hate Jesus Christ, the Lord. And hate is a powerful, powerful tool. And hate will make you do things that you never thought another human could do. But let me bring you back to Brant Jean. on the witness stand looking at the one who had murdered his beloved brother and offering forgiveness. And let me bring you back a bit further, because while hate is very powerful, there is something more powerful than hate. Help me out, church. Let me bring you back 2,000 years ago to a cross on Calvary. Let me bring you back to a man with arms spread, bearing the sin and the guilt and the shame. My guilt and my sin and my shame upon the cross that day. And offering his perfect life in my place. Love. Jesus Christ loves me. And Jesus Christ loves you, Christian. Sinner, come to Jesus. Because the one thing that this world has to offer, the hatred that this world has to offer, and they call it many other things. They call it love. They call it justice. They call it truth. They call it righteousness. They call it many things. But love is none other than the love that is displayed in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So if you will repent of your sin and come to Jesus Christ, he will save you. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is offered. Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? It is love that overpowers evil every single time. Jesus saves. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we come before you thanking you for love. That you have loved us even when we were yet sinners. You loved us and Christ died for us. Oh, praise God that you have overcome the power of evil and given us love and hope. Lord, transform souls this morning by the power of your Spirit work in us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us when we didn't deserve it. You are worthy of our praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.